Is the tongue really destructive? Well, in Isaiah 30:27, God himself calls it a devouring fire. If you turn over to James 3, verses 1, we'll read verses 1 through 8 together. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So God basically puts 8 verses in the Bible talking about how evil, how full of poison, and how the tongue is set on fire by hell itself. Now in Proverbs 6:16-19, God talks about the 7 abominations to himself. And 3 out of the 7 have to deal with the human mouth. Number 1 is a lying tongue, a false witness, and one who sows discord among brethren. Now we can either use the tongue for good or for evil. We don't need to lie with the tongue, Colossians 3:9. We don't need to be a gossiper, a tattler, or a busybody, found in 1 Timothy 5:13. We don't have to use corrupt communications, Ephesians 4:25. We don't have to curse with the mouth, James 3:10. We don't have to speak of evil and of bitterness, Ephesians 4:31. We don't have to speak of evil to one another, James 4:11. And we don't have to take the Lord's name in vain in Exodus 20:7 and Deuteronomy 5:11. God isn't asking us to follow these rules. He's not asking us. We don't have an opinion. We can't say, oh, I'll lie Thursday and Friday. I'll be holy to the Lord. No. 24/7, we are not to lie, gossip, tap. We can't do anything except praise God with our tongue. Now, God gives us examples in the Bible that we can learn from liars, and he punishes them dearly. If you turn to Acts 5, verses 1... We'll read verses 1 through 11. That's Acts 5, verses 1, 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but you have lied to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. So Ananias and Sapphira sell a piece of land and keep some for themselves. They're selfish. They don't give all of it to James. They give it all, or not all to James. They keep some for themselves. And James says to them, "You haven't lied to me, to man, but you have lied to God himself. You have lied to God in his face." And so God strikes them down. And it doesn't say they died 5 minutes later. No, it says immediately they were struck down and killed. Now, can the mouth be used for God's word? Obviously, yes. And God has many verses that deal with this. You can let the words of your mouth be acceptable, found in Psalms 19:14. Fruit of lips offer, let your lips offer prayer to God, Hebrews 13:15. Confession is made with the mouth, Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. Faith in Christ and thus speak, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Give an answer of the hope, 1 Peter 3:15. And speak always with grace, Colossians 4:6. And have a tongue that speaks of thy word, Psalms 119:172. Now, what will happen if I let my tongue control me, if I let my rudder control me in a bad way? Well, if you turn to Proverbs 19, verses 9, God says himself what will happen. A false witness will not go unpunished. He who speaks lies shall perish. And also God also puts in Revelations verses 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable murderers, sexual immorality, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So God says himself, if you let your tongue control you, if you let your worldly tongue control your Christian life, you will surely die and burn in hell. Now Christ is at your door. Let him come into your heart. Fill your heart with joy and himself. In Romans 13:11-14, Jesus tells you to put on Christ and follow him. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8, Jesus tells you to plead for purity. Now you decide. Will your tongue cause you your life, or will it cause you your death?